As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On the beach. That's a different voice. I'm Tass Mellis. Welcome to No Dunks, presented by the NBA. That's game. Along with me, it's the bearded one, Trey Kirby. Trey?
Heyo!
Heyo!
Ooh, it's the international man of mystery. It's Lee Ellis. Lee.
Friends.
And the man making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. No Skeets. But don't worry, he will be back on Friday. It's Fast Friends. The guys are reviewing every film in the Fast and the Furious franchise. Yes, that's happening. I believe Too Fast, Too Furious this Friday.
That is correct.
Yeah, and no spoilers. But it's not going to get as glowing reviews as the first one. But maybe that makes for a great podcast. At least the three of us think it's a banger for sure.
All right. Can't wait to find out. As for today's show, we kind of stayed away from Summer League questions. There's a lot happening out there. There's Jalen Green balling for the Rockets. Alperen Şengün. Is he a hired Shen gun firing away from midcourt for the Houston Rockets? They look good. Trey, Pat Williams dropping 30 for the Bulls.
Shooting all the time. I love to see that.
And I wanted to ask you guys. So we're not in Vegas, obviously. It's second straight year, but... Well, we went for 5 years with NBA TV. Then we had a year off because they let us go. And then we missed, obviously, the COVID. There was no Summer League in 2020. Now we're missing this one. Any FOMO out there from any of you guys at all?
I'm missing the Bamboo Boys.
That
was one of the great parts of it. Down in the pool in the mornings, because we wouldn't usually get to the arena until about, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we had a little bit of time to bond in the mornings. And JD and Skeets especially like to have a couple of Coronas there as well, get themselves nice and warmed up. But it was always fun going to Vegas. I mean, we were never there for the basketball. It was always just for more, you know, socializing. The shows were awesome. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to going back one day, but I'm enjoying a little bit of time away from it, that's for sure.
Yeah, Lee, you just made me miss it a little bit more, because like you're saying, it always came, you know, at the end of a recording season basically for us, so it was our last humongous task, and then we'll finally get some time off. And yeah, the shows would be, the long days would kind of be brutal being stuck inside. But I mean, it's 115 degrees out there in Las Vegas. So, you know, we got to be inside. But I don't know, it was kind of like we had to go through this last huge journey at the end of every year to finally get to celebrate. And it's always fun being with the Bamboo Boys, going across the street to that random breakfast place. I don't know what breakfast place
cantina,
was, but some kind of cantina. Yeah. They'll give you some eggs. They'll give you some tortillas. That's the stuff I miss for sure. And, you know, getting those moments with the young players who, you know, 5 or 6 years down the line, we're like, oh, remember when we had him and he couldn't even grow a mustache?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, no doubt. So forgive us for not getting into the Summer League basketball. This is our, you know, 1 year where we can stay away from it. But we will get into it on Monday with Dave DeFore. The Athletic's Dave DeFore is there, and he'll give us the lowdown on all the players and what's going on there. Monday, August 18th, he'll be with us, to give us... to give us a little bit more FOMO, I guess, Dave DeFore.
Yeah, well, fans of the show will know this won't be the first time we've had Dave on. I couldn't help it.
You got to.
It won't be the first. I guess it's the second.
It won't be the last. I'm sure, Dave.
And he's having some fun out there. I think when he gets on, he's going to give me a little Dave DeFomo because he's out there. Yeah. He's dropping down doing push-ups. I saw that.
Yeah,
he's dropping down. And he's got some flat kicks on there with some Sauconys. I'm a Saucony man. He's wearing those as well.
How was the deform on those push-ups? Sorry, I had to get in on it. I had to. I couldn't resist.
Once you start, you can't stop it, you know?
Pretty good. If we're asking about his form,
nice, yeah,
very good. He had the elbows back. He was one with the floor. Ugh. Anyway, yeah. Deforced.
You made up for it there.
Yeah. Thanks, man. All right. Should we get into this? Why the heck not? You guys sent in some good basketball cues and some non-basketball cues, and we've got a non to start here. It's a bit of a lengthy one, but it's a good one. Hey, guys. First time writing in after a long time as a fan. A real long time. I have been a fan since 2006, the very beginning. I don't remember exactly how I found the old Basketball Jones podcast, but it was around the time I was splitting half my days between my hometown of Houston and half in my adopted city of Toronto. I honestly probably heard about the podcast in line at Tim Hortons or Talking Raptors with one of the like three fans I found back then. From 2002 to 2007, I was going between both cities for a relationship I was in. The girl didn't work out, but my relationship with you guys stuck. I've been here ever since. I remember when you moved to the Vimeo uploads and thought, how do you guys make this much money? Because I thought the common room you recorded in was your personal apartment, as you're seeing here on YouTube. Definitely not a personal apartment. Looking back, I mean, we just found a free room in Skeet's building that was never used. So that's why we could jump up there. But yeah,
never used at 8 in the morning for a pool and a bar up there. But yeah.
It wasn't used that often at all, though, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Nah. Like, when we asked for the pool balls for the first few days, I do believe, because we were trying to make it seem like we were using it for something other than recording our video, the guy behind the counter was like, what? Nobody uses these pool balls. Then we stopped the facade and we just went up there every morning. Anyways, I was excited and scared every time there was a move to a new corporate overlord because you've been with me through the good, the bad, and everything in between for most of my adult life, which leads me to my point. I started my current job in 2006 right along with TBJ. I consumed about 80% of your videos and podcasts either in that office or commuting to that office. But today is my last day. 15 years in, and I finally found something to convince me to leave. I stuck around way too long because it was comfortable and easy. So my question, what's a thing you did for way too long just because it was easy or comfortable, even though you knew you needed to change it? Here's to another 15 years. Thanks so much, Will in Houston. So Lee, you got an answer to that? Great cue.
Yeah, well, at first when I read it, when he said, today is my last day, I thought he was ditching us. I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks. Thanks for the
great 15 years.
Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, I've had enough of you guys, I'm out. I'm like, okay, fair enough, I guess we're going to read this one. But obviously he's referring to his job there. And honestly, that one spoke to me because I did something very similar almost to the day 23 years ago when I just decided to pack up and leave my life in Melbourne, Australia. I was like, I had a comfortable job. I had no worries. I was living at home. I had my friends and family nearby. But I was also just like, I'm just a bit bored. So I really decided to shake things up and just decided to move to the other side of the world. And, you know, I was talking a good game beforehand, telling friends, I'm going to live in Europe for 2 years. I'm going to really go and see the world. But inside, I was like, if I last 6 weeks, that'll be a shock to me. Because you know, it is a big move when you're just like, you're going away. And obviously, the internet was around then, but it wasn't quite with the way we communicate now with phones so easily. So, and then to top it all off, on the flight on the way over, there is no lonelier place in the world apart from the free throw line than sitting on an airplane through darkness for like basically 24 hours, just alone with your thoughts. And I remember flying, and I went through Singapore, and I stopped off in Singapore, and then it was a 14-hour flight from Singapore to London. And that I couldn't sleep, and I was just like, what am I doing? Why did I just leave my job and my friends and my family to go to a big city where I knew some people there, but not that close, and I had my grandma there, but it was, I didn't want to go and live with my grandma. I wanted to go and sort of experience London life, and I did. But man, that first trip over, and then those first couple of weeks were just so intimidating and daunting, because you just didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know where you were, and you were like a big fish out of water. But one thing led to the other, and now, like I say, it's been 23 years. I think it was August the 5th when I left home, and now I live in Atlanta after coming via Toronto as well, married, two kids, and a house, and it's like, wow. Okay, things did turn out okay, but
good call.
There was some serious questions I had there. Even after about 3 weeks, I think I'd been there, I was like, I should have just come for a holiday and then gone home. Like, I just don't think I'm going to last. And something happened. I don't know exactly what or when, but then it was kind of like, oh, actually, no, this is pretty cool now. So I managed to stay. But I had that same feeling that Will had there, where it just kind of like, there's nothing wrong. I had a pretty good existence, a pretty good life, but I was just bored and I just wanted to mix things up. And now, yeah, here I am a few passports later, a few kids, I probably won't go and live in Australia. I mean, who knows, maybe at some point, but I've actually spent, I think, more of my life outside of Australia than I ever did inside Australia, which is incredible, because it feels like it's been about, you know, well, it feels like it's been a few years, but not 23, that's for sure.
And you thought this was going to be a two-year experiment, basically, when you left.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, I'm going to go over there, work in a pub for a while, do some traveling around Europe, maybe do a few Kentucky tours, you know, the old jump on a bus with 30 strangers. I thought, that's what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to go home. But I lived in London there for a couple of years, and I had my mate Benny, who I've mentioned a few times, living in Toronto. I thought, I might go and live in Toronto for a while, see if I like Toronto. Absolutely loved Toronto. Couldn't wait to go back, went back. And now I'm a resident of Toronto, citizen, in fact. So, yeah, it's incredible how it's all sort of worked out. But there was no way I could have foretold that when I was on that lonely, lonely flight and really regretting my decision halfway somewhere over the Asian continent there on my way to London.
Did you know where you were staying before you flew?
Well, no, I mean, I was staying at my grandma's when I first arrived, just to sort of like, okay, put my bags down. But then I was like, I've got to find a job in the city, because a lot of the pubs and hotels, they would provide accommodation for you. So you wouldn't get paid much, but you wouldn't have to pay rent and you wouldn't have to pay for your meal. So I think my first job paid me like £2.30 an hour, which is like, you know, at the time, probably $4 US an hour. But I had no expenses, other like living expenses. So you were able to sort of make it work that way. But I didn't, when I got there, I just kind of asked around, and, you know, a few people know somebody and they know somebody and there's a job here, and you go along and it works out. But it's very unsophisticated. Like, I thought I'd be going in for interviews with high level people at this hotel. And the lady basically was like, oh, are you so-and-so's friend? I'm like, yeah. Okay. Have you ever worked in a bar before? No. Have you ever been in a bar and drunk from a bar? Yeah. Okay, this time, instead of drinking, just pour the beers. Can you do that? I'm like, yes. Okay, when can you start? I'm like, well, I mean, sort of anytime. All right, start tomorrow then if you want. And I was like, okay.
And they made it pretty easy to stay,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Once you're in, then no one really cares, as long as you turn up for your job. That's it.
Have you had experience? No. Have you had experience on the other side of the counter? Yeah.
I thought straight away, I thought, oh, damn it, I've lost this already. No experience. Basically, it's like, can you just turn up and try your best to serve a few beers to people? I'm like, okay, that'll do. And I did.
Well, it's not exactly rocket science.
No, it's not. It's not. But you know what? We used to have a lot of North American tourists. So people would come in, and if someone asked for a pint, yes, that's easy. But some people would come in, you know, the old ladies would say, can I have a rusty nail? I'm like, what the hell is that? You know,
no internet to look it up.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So I remember saying sometimes to customers, like, if you tell me what's in it, I'll just pour those into it. I have no idea what that is, you know. But they would want like the cherry and that sometimes, or the orange peel. I'm like, we don't have any of that stuff. Like, it's what you see up here is what's going into the drink. So if you want, you know, whatever it is, I'll pour it in there.
You know what's in it, Rusty, now?
Not anymore, no. Is it vermouth? No.
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 It's Scotch and Drambuie.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, wow.
I think could've so. Made it. That's how I made
it. Yeah. I remember one day someone asked for a Long Island iced tea, and I just put every non-dark alcohol we had into the glass, and I think I topped it up with a bit of tonic water and just said, I mean, have that.
Pretty close. Oh my God. Yeah. Sunbury iced tea.
Trey, you got an answer for this one?
Yeah, mine is probably not quite on the scope of leaving the country you grew up in to lead a life on the other side of the world, but I never used to make my bed in the morning until Tass said that quote from, I don't know, General McMaster. It's basically like, if you start making your bed, it's like you accomplished something very first thing in the morning. Because I was of the mind, who cares? I'm sleeping in it in a few hours later anyways. I'm going to mess it up. Why make it in the first place? But just like when Tass said, you shouldn't put Q-tips in your ears, I adopted this like right away because, I don't know, it made me feel like I was getting something done. Even if I don't do anything for the next 16 hours I'm awake, at least I got something checked off the list right away.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's a good call. Thank you for the correct attribution, too. General H.R. McMaster.
Wow, that was right? That was right?
Totally nice. Right. Totally right. And I say thank you because it came via Tim Ferriss, who, you know, drops a lot of expert lines, but it's good to get back to the source. Let's get back to the source right now. JD, the ultimate source. You got an answer for this question?
Well, real quick, I've given up breakfast. I'm trying out this intermittent fasting right now.
Okay.
You know, I was just getting too comfortable eating breakfast, I guess. So decided to give it up. And I'm fucking starving over here.
Yeah. That's
tough.
Is that what the True Nitin helps you with? Intermittent fasting? Is that that? Yeah.
Is that? Does that help with that? I don't know.
It's definitely in the Element ad read.
Oh, that's what it is.
Element. Oh, it's Element.
Yeah. Got to replace your sodium.
Yeah.
Those Element dudes didn't send me any Element, so I'm going to have to buy it, I guess. But what is it? Salt?
It's like the original Gatorade drinks that I remember were like this, like really not tasty and sweet, just that salty, you know, tough to kind of swallow, but apparently better for you. And then I think Gatorade realized if you make it sweet, people will just drink it. That's what it tastes like to me. Because I remember when like my dad used to do fun runs and we would go along and they would have all the drinks there. And because it was a color, like usually green, you would think, oh, can I have some? Because it looks great. You're drinking, you're like, oh, yuck.
Yeah,
but when you're working out, it tastes a little bit more, you know, appealing because you need the salt in it.
JD, people speak glowingly of the intermittent fasting.
I know. That's why I wanted to give it a go.
So when do you jump back on? You're just skipping breakfast right back at lunch.
Yeah. So I have an 8-hour window. It's 1 to 9 of food, like 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. So
wow.
And I guess the trick is to not go nuts, you know, like not go crazy in that window, which is difficult because by then, you know, I want to tear somebody's head off and drink their blood sort of thing. So it's going okay. I've had a couple of attempts at it. I'm just following those instructions. That's it. So I don't know if I'm allowed a cheat day or whatever. So I'm just doing it. I'm just trying to move more and eat less, and that's it. I gotta lose this pandemic weight. It's crazy.
Keep it simple, man. Yeah. For me, just a quick answer. Something I did way too long was I had this area of growth in my backyard in my old house. It's sort of up on a hill. It was like probably like 25 feet long, 150 feet wide. It was just nature up there. It just grew in my backyard, but it was kind of elevated and kind of away from everything, so it wasn't a big deal, but it kind of got ugly after a while. So I would just get up there thinking, you know, I'd take the old weed whacker and hit it up a few times and then I'd be down and it's done. But once you got up there, first of all, the space was a lot bigger, so and you know, nature, it's can be a beast. So I went up there, you know, hornets' nests and snakes, and the poison ivy got me a couple times. Yep. And you know, I was dumb. Even after it got me the one time, I think we did a show A few of us did a show in Toronto. I had poison ivy on my arm. T-shirt was covering most of it. Wasn't contagious. That was all good. It looked like, kind of looked like I had a tattoo going on up there. And then the second time I got poison ivy was last year. I had already trimmed it, and it was really short. So I thought, oh, I'd just go up there in my shorts like a dumb idiot. And it got on the back of my ankle. And then I just couldn't get rid of the itchiness for weeks. And it just wouldn't stop. So then I sold my house because of it. I just said, I don't like this. I don't like this brush.
I might get poison ivy.
I might get poison ivy. No, I finally gave it up. It took me a while, but it was time. It was time to just let nature be. Stop disrupting
let
nature.
Let it live.
Let it live. All right, Trey, what's our next cue?
Sup, no dunks? You know how sometimes whenever a player is brought up, there are always certain things that people always end up saying about that player? For example, James Johnson is a black belt in karate. LeBron? He's an underrated passer. Might be his best skill, if you ask me. Matthew Dellavedova? He's a real gym rat. Do you guys have any other favorites that get brought up all the time? Thanks. That's from Tej in Vancouver. Tass, what you got?
I'm going with a retired player by the name of Deshaun Stevenson. And he's famous for a few things, but I think the most infamous thing, you know, even since his retirement, is that he had an ATM in his apartment. And and it was a contentious issue on our shows. We discussed how an ATM works, because he had an ATM for his card playing buddies, so they could come and keep getting cash that he would supply them. And we had so many questions about the ATM, is like basically starting from, who provides the cash?
Who puts the money in?
Who puts the cash in there? Do you put your bank card like a regular ATM? Is it connected to the internet? Is it just a simple IOU system, or is it a real bank machine? Anyways, another thing Deshaun Stevenson is known for, his Jordan comp out of high school.
Good one.
Yeah, I know, Trey. What you tweet this every once in a while. What site was it?
I think it's NBADraft.net,
I think,
the comparison. And, like, he was coming out of high school as well. Right, yeah. A high school player. This guy, the only NBA player you could possibly compare him to, he's a Michael Jordan type. Bit of an overreach.
And then he was picked 23rd. By the Utah Jazz. It didn't work out in terms of MJ, but you know, he, as far as his career goes, he won a ship. He got to Dallas. He started a lot of those playoff games as the two guard on that 2011 Dallas team. I do forget that it was a pretty quick stint in Dallas, like a year and a half, and then gone. But got the ship, and he also the other thing he's infamous for is the Abe Lincoln tattoo on his neck. I was doing some research and I saw this quote from Deshaun Stevenson. It's too good not to include. He said, quote, I was going to get Martin Luther King and I told Gilbert Arenas that I was going to get MLK on my neck. You should never tell anyone your idea. That summer, he came back. Gilbert came back and he got MLK. So I didn't know who to get. I got Abraham Lincoln because he freed the slaves. I just had Abraham Lincoln on my neck. And from a distance, everyone was asking, who is that? So I put the $5 bill around Abraham Lincoln so everyone would stop asking me, who is that? That's why he put the fives beside Abraham Lincoln.
That's a wild story.
Yeah, I had never heard that. Just decides to put two huge fives. Also, Gilbert Arenas put MLK on whatever body part he put MLK on. And then Deshaun Stevenson said, I had to get something else. I mean, do you have to put something on your neck? I guess he wanted to.
He's like, I'm getting a face tattooed on my throat regardless. Made an appointment, not canceling. Took forever to get in here.
All right, so I got Deshaun Stevenson. Lee, who you got?
Well, I've got one that we always bring up on the show, especially me and Skeets, and that is Ronnie Cycli. He's always working the decks.
On the ones and twos.
But I will say it's actually one that I don't like. He doesn't play anymore. He just retired recently. It's Sean Livingston. Always, anytime he scored a basket, he came back from a very, very bad knee injury. It's like, yes, we know. We saw it and we all thought he was gone. And then he came back. And he was a champion with the Warriors there a couple of years. But I just hated how that was what was always brought up about him. It was like, yes, he did. A lot of guys have come back from very, very bad injuries, but his seemed to be the one that was always brought up. And it was kind of like, we've got to move on from that, you know. I think it was in his rookie season or maybe second season there, but...
It was early for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he had been in the NBA for, like, had returned for about a decade, and that was still, like, the number one thing you're hearing.
Yeah, yeah, still. And it was just like, man, that guy just can't move off from that. So, yeah, those two for me.
Trey, who you got?
Well, I never really noticed it or thought, had a second thought about it until Matty O mentioned it on a podcast once upon a time. But announcers say the colleges that NBA players went to constantly. Mm. Like, you know, Melo is going to be going into what, his 19th season here? And you're still going to hear about how he won a championship for Syracuse in the beginning of the 2000s. You know, like, they'll always slide it in, oh, he's a St. Mary's product or whatever. And I think the guy who does this the most of any broadcaster is Grant Hill. If there's a Dookie playing in that game, guaranteed Grant Hill is going to shout out the Brotherhood, whether it be, you know, Kyrie Irving, who played a handful of games there, or Zion Williamson, who was there for a year. If you put on Duke Blue Devil Blue, guaranteed you're getting a shout out from Grant Hill. That's the Brotherhood right there. It's just, as soon as Matt said that, I was like, I wish you would have never said anything, because now I can't hear it just talking about where these guys went to college, even if it's, you know, a decade and a half into their career.
Yeah, I think as well, some of the local broadcasters who are big college guys just know every player's college, and they do. They're the same thing. Could be a guy in his 12th season, he goes, oh, I remember him at Kansas State, and it's like, wow, all right, I think he's moved on. Especially now when guys are really doing the one-and-done stuff, I don't think the college is anywhere near as relevant as it used to be, you know, like when Grant Hill, because what was Grant? He was a three-year guy, was he?
I think so.
Yeah. You know, but even then guys were starting to sort of just move away and from their college. But yeah, it just doesn't mean as much when guys are only doing it just because they have to do that 1 year of college anyway.
Yeah, I feel like broadcasters used to do a lot more of Jose Calderon, the former Detroit Piston and Memphis Grizzly. Like, they would shout out former teams, but they don't do that at all anymore. I felt like that was a thing, but nobody cares anymore, I guess.
Sometimes when there's like a play with two former teammates who are on a team, they say, you know, oh, they know each other from, you know, their time together in Orlando or wherever it was.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah.
That's true. But the college thing for sure, and it's usually accompanied by, where'd he go to school? Because if the broadcaster, you know, if Grant Hill's from Duke, he'll just say, where did he go to school? Just so the other guy has to say Duke. But I do like... you know, recently Kemba Walker got traded. For me, being a Canadian, I didn't grow up with this saying. It seems like it's been around for a long time with the UConn Huskies. But, you know, having heard it the last few years, I like when somebody says, when they say you can't, you can't. And I'm probably not even saying that right. I think that's a good one. I think that's the best, one of the best college shout-outs around.
Yeah, that's not bad.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Got to pay the bills, but some good cues on the other side about pleasant yet unexpected responses. It's a weird one, but a good one. Greg Popovich, we'll be right back. Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com. BetMGM.com/NoDunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We're back, baby. Since this is Beach Step and we're getting cues thrown at us, I'm going to throw a cue at JD. JD, what's that song you play under the Indochino at? What kind of vibes we got there?
What is it? That's a good question. It came from the APM library. That's okay. What is that? American Publishers of Music or whatever. It's just an Italian feel, I think. I would call it Italian or French. It's like an old school European vibe, okay. I guess. Yeah. You know.
I like how you're normalizing it. You know, we would usually, like you said, like you're with a, you know, something European, but just like it's just mainstreaming it a little bit. I like that. I like hearing more of it. That's all I'm saying. I also have a question. I wish Jay Skeets was here because he said he hates the taste of water.
Yeah, that's a cool part of the ad read.
Water. unless unfortunately you got some hard water coming out the pipes that tastes like something. It usually doesn't taste like anything. If I don't know if I'm drinking water the wrong way or if I lost my taste buds.
Maybe you got that hard water. You didn't even know it. The only water I have an opinion on its taste is Dasani. I do think Dasani tastes a little salty, if you're asking me, but maybe they're trying to up your hydration game. I've heard if you don't replace the sodium, it can be very bad. It can lead to fatigue and also cramps.
DeSalty.
That's right. Dave DeSalty.
They will not be sponsoring our podcast anytime soon. All right, you guys have some good cues, so let's keep going. Hi, No Dunks personnel. A few weeks ago, I pulled up the Breaking Tea website to show my wife your limited edition finals t-shirt. I show her things that I think would be fun purchases almost daily, and I get rejected because she uses common sense. This time, she said, "That's a cool shirt." I confirm she wasn't joking, and $80-something later, I have a new tee and sweatshirt in the mail to make it 6 articles of No Dunks / Starters clothing. Amazing. So I ask, what was the time your partner, child, or Matty O surprised you with a positive, albeit unexpected, response? Shirt up. Love the clothes. Awesome. That's from Brad in Brooklyn. What do you got, Trey?
Well, first of all, thanks, Brad, for supporting us. 6 articles of No Dunks clothing. That's awesome. And yeah, that limited edition final shirt. That was a good one. I got a good Matty O story for this one, though. I complained about trying to expand my internet on the show once. I bought a second router, same as the one I had upstairs, thinking, all right, I'll just plug it in downstairs. 2 routers. Simple. Apparently you can't do that, as I found out quickly from my service provider. But later that day, Matty O had a chance to listen to the podcast, and he shot me a text message saying, "Hey, do you want to buy my mom and dad's Eero internet extender? It's I think it comes through Amazon. It was like a perfectly packaged 3-pack of these transponders." I was like, yeah, this is actually exactly what I'm looking for. And at the time, I think it was sold out. You know, there was some sort of wait list on Amazon. It's going to be back in 4 weeks or something like that. But Matty O's parents had it ready to go. I guess it just wasn't working for them and they wanted to go a different way. So he shipped it to me and, you know, living at the apartment, I almost had too much coverage. I had to take one of the transponders out. I was like, there's too much meshing going on around here. We finally moved into this house and now I'm able to use all 3 of my responders, all thanks to Matty O's parents. Thank you to them.
Always great to get a parent shout out.
Yeah.
You're actually, while you were saying that, you cut out for me, but that's my dumb internet on my end. So hopefully I don't fall off here. Lee, you got an answer for this one?
Yeah, don't talk about the internet. I'm having a good day. I don't want to jinx it. I know I'm going to start lagging here any second. Now, when we actually just got back from our trip a couple of weeks ago, you know, that first day back, you don't really want to have to get takeout dinner, because you've been having takeout dinners for the last like month or so. So you'd like, and I was determined, like, there's something in this house and I'm just going to throw it all together. I'm going to make dinner, whatever that is. There's some beans or some lentils. There was like an avocado still in the fridge. It was good enough. And I'm like, all right, I'm just throwing all this stuff together.
A month old avocado?
Well, it was starting to wrinkle, but it had been in the fridge. So it was kind of like, I'm just going to make some guacamole out of this. And just, you know, as long as you get the guacamole to the kids before it starts turning brown, they're not going to say like, hang on, that's been in there a month. So anyway, so I had, you know, the beans, I had some vegan sausages. I threw those and cut them all up. I said, this is dinner tonight, guys. And I was like, this is going to be a tough one. We're all a bit jet lagged. We're all a bit tired. And now they're not having something that's just basically pizza or pasta to eat. But they ate it. And then and in our house, I sort of take care of most of the breakfast and the lunches sort of for we share those around. But mum takes care of the dinners for the most part. And afterwards, the 9-year-old ate them. I said, how was that? Did you like it? Yeah, Dad, that was good for you. And I was like, thanks, man. I thought this was going to be just an arm wrestle to get everyone to eat this. But and once he does it, then the 4-year-old kind of like, well, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. So, you know, that worked out okay. I still don't really know what that combination was, because I just grabbed some tins, opened them, threw them in the saucepan, mixed it all up and said, eat that, guys. And they did. So I was pretty happy with it.
Just like making a Long Island iced tea.
Exactly.
Throw it all in there and mix it up.
Yeah.
JD, you got an answer for this one?
It's from my kid, and my kid said to me that, you know, we just got back from Canada. We were there for a week, but Rachel, my wife, stayed there. She's there for 3 more weeks because she's got a wedding, and that wasn't planned. The Canada customs agents were threatening to go on strike, so she was going to come back to Atlanta and then fly back, and we were like, you know what, just don't even bother. So she stayed. But midway through last week, my son said to me, you know what? You're a pretty good single dad. I was like, oh, thanks, I guess. I mean, it's not a compliment you want to hear necessarily, but I'll take it. You know what? I'll take it.
Maybe, too? This is crazy.
Yeah, I wonder what Rachel would think of that then as well. It's like, we're coping all right without you here, Mum. She's like, well, maybe I'll stay for a bit longer then. You know? Like, you know, I don't know.
Well, they did. He didn't say we're doing good here, Dad. We're not exactly flourishing over here. He did say you're a good single dad. You're so right. whatever that means. So I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah, it sounds like he's your son, though. You know, you would compliment without, you know, fully given a compliment.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Slightly backhanded.
Yeah. All of my withholding is now backfiring.
Sounds like he loves the shit out of you. That's what it sounds like. We'll get to your trip, actually, JD, and what went wrong in a couple questions, because we got a good cue about everything that went wrong with JD's trip to Toronto, because you planted the seed. Now we're gonna watch it grow in a couple questions. But I'll answer this question real quick. Also child related. I was going to Cancun with my family a few years ago. Our 1.5-year-old daughter had been puking for 24 or 36 hours before that. We had contemplated maybe we shouldn't take her. She's just gonna be sick the entire time. But she stopped puking. Still had some wet diapers, so she's hydrated. She's drinking her Element, of course, so she was good. We're getting on the plane. We're in security, actually, so we get to the conveyor belt, and she yaks one more time, right as we're about to, you know, put our stuff on the conveyor belt. So the positive part was that we had a blanket nearby, and she puked into that, and there wasn't a lot. I guess that was the really positive part. The unexpected part, though, when I examined what was in the blanket, it was a full grape.
Oh,
like, whoa! What the?
Wow!
How is there a grape in her vomit? She didn't eat grapes, but she had eaten a raisin.
Wow!
She had eaten a raisin.
Turned it into a grape.
Yeah, wow. It was amazing.
A rehydrated raisin. That's amazing.
Yes. Science.
Wow, that's that would blow my mind too. Yeah. Honestly,
I loved it. I loved it. It made everything better. Just seeing that happen. Well, I didn't see it happen, but I didn't see
it happen.
Knowing it happened. Yeah, it was pretty freaking cool, I thought. Full on grape. I tell people that story as much as I can. That's a good one. Yeah.
Great story. Wow. Mm-hmm. Chew your raisins, Zoe. Come on now.
Maybe that's why you get so full if you eat raisins. They just turn into gigantic grapes in your stomach once you get through it. Hmm.
I do remember guys who wanted to gain weight ate a lot of raisins. Well, that was one food that was suggested to them because they're really calorie dense for how small they are. Mm. That was one way to, if you wanted to get pumped, if you want to be like Vin Diesel.
It's all raisins.
Maybe your daughter wanted to get raisins and there, Corona. Did you that? She was like, I need to put on some weight here. I want to beef up a little.
Yeah, that's probably why Danielle was feeding her raisins to beef her up. Anyways, that's it for that one. Trey, what we got?
USAO! One thing I think a lot of basketball fans have asked themselves over the last few years is, when is Greg Popovich going to retire from coaching? I think most of us always assumed that he wanted to stick around for the chance to win a gold medal. He did that, so now what? Within the past few years, we've seen all the players from the Spurs dynasty retire. He won his medal, and it looks like a youth movement is coming to San Antonio. So my question, how many more years do you think Pop coaches until he retires? P.S. We really need a Breaking Tees Celtics-style no-dunks shirt for the Beantown boys. Maybe you'll get one this season. That's from Zach. Lee, how much longer do you think Pop's coaching?
That's a great question, because I actually thought before last season he may have stepped down, because I did think that he wanted to get that gold medal, the Olympic gold medal, and then maybe bow out. But because of the delayed Olympics, I thought maybe Pop's just like, you know what, I'll just sign off now. But he did stick around, and now he has got the gold medal. And someone asked him as well out in Turkey, I can't remember who it was, may have been Tim Reynolds, and he basically said, you know, what's next, Pop, or something. And he said, sayonara. And they were like, oh, are you done? And he was like, he says, is that what I said? Or I didn't say that. Or so, you know, he was kind of playing games a little bit there. So
I thought he was saying, I'm going to Japan, sayonara.
Well, or leaving Japan, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Pop likes to play mind games a little bit there. But, you know, there's still plenty of time if he was to step down now that the Spurs would have plenty of time to prepare for a new coach for next season. And maybe that is Becky Hammon if that's the choice they go in. But Popovich as well, you know, it's like Tim and Manu and Tony have all moved on. That era is definitely over, and they've got a completely new young set. And you look at what they did this offseason. You know, Patty Mills is gone. LaMarcus obviously was traded. Rudy Gay's gone. And DeRozan's also gone. So definitely is going to be a whole new team sort of moving forward. So I wonder if he just still can't pull himself away from coaching. He could probably coach for another 5 seasons. But also, at some point, you think he's just going to have to say, okay, it is time for someone else to take over now and see if Becky Hammon perhaps can have an opportunity. Because I'm surprised that Becky Hammon didn't get close to any other opportunities to head coaching. I know there's a few interviews. They felt a bit more like tokenism rather than like that she was a real shot there. But there was also some weird stuff coming out of San Antonio about her saying that she wasn't ready for coaching. So I'm not sure if that was a smokescreen. The Spurs are like, Pop's going to leave and we want Becky to take over. And so we'll kind of muddy the waters a little bit for others. Or, if, you know, they're just not sure she's ready yet. So ultimately, I think Popovich probably hangs on at least another season here. I don't think he coaches Team USA again in 3 years' time at the Olympics. But I think he's only got another season to go. I think surely he's going to move on. He's 73 years old as well. But he still seems to have that passion. You know, he doesn't ever seem to quit. Like, you still see him standing on the sidelines. He still is engaged and still is focused. So I think he still loves it. But I think he has to go after one more year, surely, doesn't he? I mean, he can't keep going. And you know, he's always said, we didn't hire Becky Hammon to make history. We hired her because she was great. But I think as well, it would probably be the right situation for her to take over a team that she's been with now for multiple years. Like, I think 6 seasons, I think she's been there now, maybe 7. If they're not going to give her a chance, then, you know, which team would go with Becky Hammon? So I think he's got one more season in him. One more, and then he's done.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be easy or interesting to see here, because he's already the longest tenured single team coach in North American Big Four sports history. 25 seasons. The longest coaching career in the NBA is Lenny Wilkins. 32 seasons. Another 7 seasons for Popovich seems far-fetched to me. Like you said, Lee, he'll be, what, 73 by the end of this coming season, coaching till his 80? till he's 80? That seems pretty crazy to me. You would think that it's going to be Becky Hammon who takes over for the Spurs from Popovich. But maybe it's just the thing of he's going to kind of go from, you know, one-year deal to one-year deal until they kind of deem that it's time for her to take over. And maybe we are getting closer here. Every season feels like it could be the last for Greg Popovich. We thought maybe it would be when Duncan retired. We thought maybe it would be when Tim Duncan came and coached alongside Greg Popovich. He only ended up sticking around for a season. So maybe this is the final year. We shall see.
The other point I forgot to bring up is he's only 25 wins away from Don Nelson's record for the most coaching victory. So maybe he is actually just going to do that. He should get that, obviously, this season. They should win at least minimum 30 games. So maybe that is what he's hanging around for until he does that. And then he maybe sees the season out, so he does hold that record. Because when you're this close, I guess you may as well just finish it off and get it.
You think he cares about records, though? The pop man?
On the outwardly, no. He always, you know, likes to give the credit to the players. But I'm sure this close, he's like, I may as well just hold on to that record. Because,
he's a competitive guy, that's for sure.
After him, Doc Rivers is the next active coach. He's basically at 1,000, so he's 300 wins away, which is still a lot of seasons. And then you got a Rick Carlisle in there, but those guys are a long way back. So maybe Pop just wants to hold on to that one sort of position as the most wins ever as a coach.
I like how this question has sort of become like our question about the Spurs every year. How many more years does Pop have? This has got to be the last year. When are the Spurs going to fall off? This has got to be the year. We ask that every time. And all those stuff you brought up there, Lee, kind of reminded me of, you know, the Tim Duncan days. Everything that was done internally in San Antonio was held very close to the vest. They just never, ever allowed anyone to know what was going on in that franchise. And that just leads me to believe that we won't know until Pop says it. I don't think he'll give any hints like you know, potentially was to Tim Reynolds there. I think it'll just happen just like that at some point. But he's still going. I thought during the Olympics, I always watch the USA bench because I expect guys to be a little less boisterous and vocal. Like in, you know, international game versus the NBA, more complaining, I think, in the NBA. You're a little more respectful with the FIBA officials, but that's what I generally expect. But Pop was, you know, he was still going at the officials. He's still getting it. He's still Pop. As you said, you know, going on 73, still loves doing it. Just like
that. That'll be the hint. If you see him on the sidelines and just sitting there passively watching a game, not screaming and yelling at the refs and, you know,
having a glass of wine, kicking back.
Yeah, he's always good for a couple of ejections a year as well. So if he's not getting ejected at any point, maybe that's Pop's farewell. He's saying, I'm out of here.
Lee, who do you think should take over Team USA?
That's a good question. I mean, they tend to go, it was Krzyzewski, wasn't it, before Popovich? Yeah, I mean, I wonder if someone like a Doc Rivers gets a chance, you know, someone who has coached for a long time. I think he's fairly well respected amongst his, you know, amongst the players. And, you know, he's another one who just seems to never sort of get sick of coaching. I remember he's obviously with the Celtics there. He had those intense years with the Clippers. And as soon as the Clippers ended, he goes to another sort of chaotic situation there in Philadelphia. So I think it'd be someone like him, I guess, who's still, you know, relatively young, you know, compared to Popovich. And, you know, it's probably his time to go. I mean, Rick Carlisle's another one who maybe another one. Grant Hill's the one who ultimately makes the decision there. So, you know, Steve Kerr's always sort of considered in that group as well.
Yeah, that's kind of who I think it's going to be. With Kerr being an assistant on the Team USA teams with Popovich there, he obviously, I think, was Grant Hill and Steve Kerr, did they cross over in Phoenix? I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Yeah. And Steve Kerr would obviously have a relationship with the Colangelos as well. So I know that Jerry's going to be stepping down and it's going to be Grant Hill, but maybe that lends a little weight there, some continuity, because that was Jerry Colangelo's big thing, right? When he took over building the Team USA or rebuilding the Team USA program, was that we got to have some continuity here. And you would think that the lineage from, you know, Pop coaching Kerr to Kerr being there on the bench with him as an assistant, maybe that's the way they go.
Yep.
All right, we got to take one more quick break, but on the other side, a question about our unintentional catchphrases and everything that went wrong with JD's trip to Canada.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, couple more cues. First one here. What up, NDC? Let's just cut right to the chase and ask the question on everyone's lips. What the hell happened to JD on his way home from Canada? Bombers up. Grab my thighs. Gross. Cheers. That's from Johnny in Wellington, New Zealand.
That's a great question. It's, you know, I have a rule that I don't really like talking about dreams, gambling, and video games. And I think we're going to add travel to the end of this story because I'm going to try to make this not boring at all. But it is very convoluted. So flying Air Canada back from Pearson International Airport in Toronto. It's always convoluted in the best of circumstances because if you're traveling to the States, you got to go through U.S. customs on the Canadian side, right? And now you have to add a PCR to the end of the mix. So you know, we were staying at a cottage. I could have gone to like a Shoppers Drug Mart or something to get the COVID test, but I didn't. I went, they have a drive-through rapid test at Pearson. So I went through that. It was like $200 for the three of us. And it actually worked. And, you know, and you also have to have a passenger disclosure and attestation, which is basically a signed form that says, hey, I don't have COVID. I promise I don't have COVID. So that's a pain in the ass. That's three pages that we all have to sign. So it's just extra paperwork. And I've got, you know, my Canadian passport. I got my green card. I got all of this paperwork, the results, and this attestation. Anyways, that's all fine. It's chaos, but it's fine. We get through customs. We get there super early. We've been traveling for 3 hours from the cottage to the airport, return the rental car, blah, blah, blah. So we get we go through customs, no problem. We get on the flight. It's on time. Great. We sit in the plane for 3 hours, right? The first part of it was just like, okay, we've been sitting here for a while. Then the captain comes on. We got to reset our system, basically reboot the computer, but we can't do it here at the terminal. We have to basically drive away from the terminal. So we just drive in the plane somewhere in the middle of somewhere on the tarmac.
So I have to get away from the Wi-Fi or something?
Yeah, that's what I think it was. I think that's what it was. So then we sit for another hour. We were in the plane for just over 3 hours before they're like, okay, we're canceling this flight, everybody off. So the next day is the first day of school for the kids, and I'm supposed to be doing this show, right? So we're like, all right, so what are we going to do? And we didn't know when we were going to, if it was a bit later that night, blah, blah, blah. So we get out of the gate, and then everybody's gathering around the actual gate, and the Air Canada employees have no idea what's going on, right? Like, they are just not trained for this because, you know, there are people who were coming from Athens going to Atlanta through Toronto. So they've passed U.S. Customs. And all, by the way, all their COVID tests are about to expire, right? So you have to have a COVID test within 72 hours. So they have to sequester those people. And meanwhile, I'm like, I gotta get the show covered. So I'm on the phone to Schlecht. I'm on the phone to Skeets going, and then I'll figure out what we're doing after. Plus I got two hungry kids with me. So then we're like, I finally make my way to where everybody has already sort of dissipated. And they're like, look, you got two choices. You can stay in the terminal or we'll put you up in a hotel, but you have to go to, Air Canada customer service, which is on the other side of customs, right? So I have to pass through customs to get out of the, to get I haven't left the airport, but I've passed through U.S. customs, and now I have to pass through Canada customs. So I'm like, kids are starving. They're going to put us up in a hotel, so I guess we'll just go. We'll go. Here's customs. This is, I want to say, 2,000 people waiting to get through Canada customs. Again, haven't left the country, but technically I'm on U.S. soil. So we're like, all right, I guess we're going to go through customs. So that was my big mistake, was leaving the terminal. So we leave the so we pass through customs, and what I forgot as well is that everybody that passes through customs right now has to get a COVID test, right? Yeah. Because that's just the way it is. And I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm getting a COVID. I have a negative COVID test that I got this afternoon. I'm not waiting another hour. I got to get these kids into a hotel. I got to get some food. Everything's closed as well, by the way. Not even the Tim Hortons is open. So I go to the COVID place, and so they send me to the COVID area, and this is the place where they tell people, hey, you gotta be put up, you gotta get yourself a hotel that is gonna cost you about, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever, you know, because they're still doing the COVID hotel, right? Yeah. So nothing but a sea of angry people in front of me, like being told, yeah, you're going to get fined $6,000, or you're going to stay in this hotel for 2 days or whatever while we await your COVID results. So it was just like angry people, a lot of angry people. And I'm like, listen, man, to this one guy, finally, I'm like, hey, I got a test here. We never left. Our flight got canceled, blah, blah, blah. So this one guy let me out. Go to customer service. Lineup is just as long as customs, right? And it's just like, okay. I get to the front of that line, and it's just like, we don't have any rooms. We ran out of rooms, so you're going to have to book your own hotel. So I called five places, right? They're going to reimburse me, maybe, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I finally find the DoubleTree by Hilton. That's important. The DoubleTree by Hilton. How do I get there? There's a shuttle, man. You just call the driver. All right. I'm calling the driver. I just left there. 30 minutes. I'll be back in 30 minutes. I'm like, God damn it. Okay, fine. So we're waiting. There's a flurry of buses. And I'm like, where is this guy? It's been 45 minutes. Call him again. I just left there. I'll be back in 30 minutes. I'm like, I've been here. I've been laser focused. I just want to get on this bus, the DoubleTree by Hilton. I did not see your van. What does it look like? He hangs up on me. I'm like, fuck. So it's like the flight was scheduled to leave at 6:30. This is well after midnight now. Well after midnight. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get an Uber. Fire up Uber, over an hour wait. I go upstairs, limo, please. I know it's close. No, it's too close. I'm not taking it. You know, limo drivers, they if it's too close, they won't take you. Cab, I get in a cab. It's $32. It's an airport hotel, right? $32 flat rate. Okay, fine. Air Canada's going to pay for this, probably. Probably not. I don't know. Takes us to the wrong hotel. I know right away. I'm like, this is not the DoubleTree by Hilton, because I know that that's where I'm staying, because I've been, again, laser focused on this fucking shuttle van. So he takes us to the right hotel, and then I'm livid, because I see at parked right there is their shuttle bus that has the DoubleTree by Hilton on it, right? I'm like, these motherfuckers, man. This guy is probably asleep in the back of that van, just like, you know what? I'll just, every time somebody calls, I'll just say, yeah, I just left. It's a half hour. Anyway, we get into the hotel. It's 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning. Our flight leaves at 9 a.m. the next day, so we got to be back. And I'm like, you know what? We've got our test. We've got our PCR test is done. All good, you know. It's a holiday too. It's like Simcoe Day. John Graves Simcoe. Shout out to John Graves. It's not going to be that bad. Well, first of all, okay. The shuttle van. I'm like, this shuttle bus is going to take us there, right? And they're like, yeah, got to sign up for it. 6 a.m. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. So I'm like, and that van is still sitting there dark, right? It's just, it's there. And I'm like, when this guy comes on, I'm going to fucking let him have it. And the shuttle, but the a totally different shuttle, that shuttle bus shows up. Here is the shuttle bus that showed up.
Oh, wow.
It says Holiday Inn Express and Suites. Like, how am I, what? This is not the van, and I knew it was the same guy because he I recognized his voice from the phone. So anyways, that's why I didn't get on the bus. So that bus passed me by twice, and I didn't get on the bus. Anyways, we get to the terminal.
Hold on, did you get a cookie? Did you get a cookie?
No cookies. No cookies, no Tess. Cookies. And I was like, the kids were starving and nothing was open. They gave us $120 worth of vouchers. Nothing was open. It's just like, okay. Great. It was 2 a.m. Sunday night. And I was like, don't worry, kids. It's a double tree. We're going to get a cookie. It's going to be a warm cookie when we get there. No cookie. Anyways, here's a picture. I'm showing a picture of the terminal that I arrived to the next morning. Now, I'm going to draw your attention to the stanchions here. We're at number 3. Technically, we're at standing at number 2, and you can't tell, but I'm actually in a lineup. This sea of people goes, this is for U.S. Customs, at 11. So it's stanchion 11 is U.S. Customs. We're standing at stanchion 2. And everybody, like, if you can see the bewilderment on their faces. They're just like, is this the line? Is this a line? It's not a line. It's a mob. It's a mob of people trying to get across the border. Anyways, we get across. It actually only took an hour and 16 minutes because I'm a sicko. And I always start my stopwatch and I go, this is going to be insane, but I bet it's not going to be as bad as I think it's going to be. And it wasn't. Flight gets delayed again. We're all of us are on the same flight, right? So it's all the same people, all the Greece people, all the and they're all livid, and all they do is complain. They just complain and they just make it worse and worse and worse. And then the flight, we all get the text and it's like, oh, it's been delayed by an hour. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. But it was fine. We got on it. But of course our luggage wasn't there and didn't arrive until Friday. So that's the end of the story. So the moral of the story is, if you find yourself at Pearson and your flight gets canceled and I don't care if it's 48 hours away, don't leave the terminal. Yeah. Don't ever leave the terminal. Even though they'll say, hey man, you want a hotel room? They're lying. You want some food vouchers? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Nothing's open. You want restitution? You'll never get it. You'll never get satisfaction. There's a guy standing there. I literally told him to shut up. I was just like, he was next to me and he was like frothing at the mouth, you know, frothing. He just could not fucking wait to let this guy who had nothing to do with the plane broke down, right? And he's just like, this is a national embarrassment. You're a young man. You should be ashamed of yourself. If I were you, I would be scared for my job because this will not. And I was like, hey man, just shut up. Shut up. You're embarrassing yourself. Just shut up. Nobody wants to hear it. Take your food vouchers and get out of here. Like, all you're doing is, and every single person was doing that, just making the lineup and everything. It's just making it so much worse. So, anyways, traveling, overrated. No. You know what? I won't say that. And I was like discussing it with the kids. I'm like, after everything that happened, I'm still flying so much better than driving to Canada from Atlanta. Like, it's basically a 2-day trip anyways. And you're in your car and it's just like, you know what, I'd rather go through this than have to drive. So that's the end of my story.
You know, I was waiting for the in National Lampoon's Vacation where they go to Wally World and it's closed, JD, and he pulls the gun out on the security guard. I thought you were going to do that on the Holiday Inn Express guy.
Oh man, I was like, oh, you have no idea. Like, because I saw that, I'm like, Holiday Inn. I even thought to myself when it came by the first time, God damn, we should have stayed at the Holiday Inn Express. But it was the promise of a cookie that never happened.
Oh, man.
Brutal. Cookie.
Wow. I'm happy to hear that you're still travel positive, though. Like, you're positive about traveling.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, I had a quick trip to the Dominican, and I was in a passport control, whatever the hell that means. After going through customs in Dominican, I was passport control in the U.S., and that took like an hour and 15. That's like 1/15 of your trip, and I was, you know, I was a little feisty afterwards. Still travel positive, but also when you got back and all you said to us was like, never leave your house. I thought I was kind of in that boat, but I'm glad to hear you're still positive.
Still raw when I texted that, but that was my biggest fear, like, because I had my kids with me, and the kids were like, this is awesome, man. First day of school, we're going to miss it. This is great. They were all into it until like 2 a.m. and starving, and they're literally getting like anxious about it. Like, it's like, what's happening? Where are we? Sure. Like, we're literally stranded. So, and that was my biggest fear, is just like, I don't want them to be soured on travel, because I love travel. I love traveling with my family, and I love, you know, going places is great, but it's a pain in the ass. But, you know, sometimes things break down and you got to deal with it. And
yeah.
It's all fine. It's all fine. Pain has no memory.
Yeah, the stream team is trying to figure out if you're more like Tom Hanks in The Terminal or Michael Douglas in Falling Down. Seems like it could have gone either way.
It's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. A little bit of both. It's like, just I snap. I will be very, very calm until all of a sudden I'm Michael Douglas. And
yeah, but it is a stressful situation when you're in a line that feels like it doesn't move, and then everyone's got to get their 2 cents into the hapless ticket agent to be just like, you know, fuck you off me when I'm hungry, I'm late, you know. And everyone just wants to get it out on someone. And it's that person who's like, what do you think? I fucking broke the plane? I mean, what do you want me to do?
Exactly.
Like, I'm trying to get you on a plane. You're yelling at me, which is making everyone else late. So if you stop yelling and get over and get into customs and get through the line, maybe we'll get on this plane, you know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The narcissism of people just be like, surely I don't have to wait in this line.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's all there's no global entry, right? Like right now or whatever. And people are just so angry. Which I usually enjoy that. I usually enjoy seeing people freak out. You know? It's just like, here we go.
You don't mind seeing the one person just lose it for a bit of entertainment. It's a distraction, you know. It's just like, okay, get it out. But it's as if some people see, like, as if the pilots and the flight crew are just like, hey, you want to fuck with these passengers here for a couple of hours, maybe a day? Well, fuck it. You want to? Yeah. All right. Just say, the computer's down. We can't turn it back on and turn it off. We're waiting for Chase to come along, but he doesn't even know what to do. So.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, because they are paid from, they don't start getting paid until the door closes, right? And then they stop getting paid when the door opens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. If I was getting paid by the hour and I was a pilot and, you know, I would just take my time getting to the gate, you know?
All right. Thanks for the share, JD. Thank you.
All right. Last email. This one is from Tim in Chicago. Hey, No Dunkers. A month or two ago, I caught on to Tass saying "no doubt" all the time and started considering it his catchphrase. I thought that was Gwen Stefani's. Anyways, once I noticed it, I started hearing it all the time during the shows, which made me wonder if I have any weird unintentional catchphrase that I use. Fast forward to a couple weeks ago, I was on vacation with a group of friends and caught myself saying 100% when agreeing to something, and realized I too had one of these catchphrases, and now catch myself saying it all the time. My question for you is, do the rest of you have any other unintentional catchphrases that you notice you use on the show or outside of it? Courage. He ends this email with courage. Thanks, Tim. Courage. For me, a catchphrase that I say both on the show and to describe things around the house is calling things baller style. And I picked that up from Rick Kamla circa 2014. You know, I think we had an ice storm here in Atlanta that week, right? And to get to, was it Charlotte? Is that where the All-Star game was?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep, we flew on a private plane. You know, Turner put us up. Just everybody that had to, I think it was like everybody that had to work on the Tuesday flew down to be there for Thursday or something along those lines. So whatever, we go, we do All-Star Weekend, we come back. Kamla, you know, we're just chatting it up. What was your favorite part of All-Star Weekend? I say to Rick, just joking. Oh man, being on that private plane with you. And he goes, baller style. I was like, okay, well, I guess that's how I'm going to call something that's cool for the rest of my life after hearing Kamla say it. Baller style. I was like, yeah, dude, that was baller style. I haven't been on a private plane since. Mm. So, you know, maybe that was the epitome of baller style as far as I'm concerned.
I wouldn't go so far to say it was a private plane. There were like 25 of us.
Yeah,
there,
that's a good point. A small plane.
Yeah, yeah, but it was a chartered jet. I mean,
totally,
it was,
yeah.
But the funny thing about that was, yeah, it sounds like, oh man, private jet, that's awesome. But to be honest, apart from those like 4 to 6 seats up the front, otherwise seating wasn't all that comfortable. We were kind of like on a bench at the back. You know, you couldn't sit directly opposite someone because your legs would be tangled up with them as well. And it was kind of like, oh, this is one of those things that people must think, oh, that would be so cool to be on a private jet. But you're inside, you're going, I think I'd just rather a normal seat where you can actually sit there and you're not like playing footsies with anybody.
You're right, Lee. It wasn't that comfortable. And if you look at this photo of Matty O here, showing on YouTube, he doesn't look very happy.
That is so like George Costanza when he gets on the private jet plane and he's like, oh, this is it, you know, Matt's like,
bench seats.
Yeah, the bed sheets are weird, and the fact that they're not facing forward or back.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Don't like that. Yeah. Didn't like that.
Side
part
by sides.
But baller style, Kamla, he had a regular seat, so he was living it up. I think.
Yeah, I had a regular seat too, which was pretty great.
Great.
Well, we
got to
step our game up for the next time, so we can all get seats. True baller style.
For me, I'll just jump in. As Tim mentioned, no doubt is definitely my saying of choice. Get to an end of a sentence. Don't know how to end my thought. No doubt. Just ends it just like
it's
that.
Beautiful.
And as Tamir Morgan points out, for me, Tass loves to frick. I do say frigging or fricking a lot.
That's a good one.
That's a good point. I used to sort of self-bleep my... but now I just frick or frig. You're right. Good stuff, Tamir. Lee, is there one that comes to mind for you?
Well, from the stream team as well, I said someone here, DC, says I say so much fun, 100%. I guess 100% is more like that's what I say. So, yeah, that sounds about right. And I know that when I'm talking about a team that's been playing well and I've sort of lost my train of thought, I say they really flex their muscles or something like that if they dominate it. It's just one of those safety net phrases that you say. So I'm sure there's a few others out there, but... You know, we you know them yourselves, but often it's people who listen to the show who recognize them a little more than we do. So, you know, when I'm out there flexing my muscles, you know, maybe someone can bring them up.
JD, you got one?
Well, I've said it before, but the Mo Verney potato, that's infected our entire household. Rachel said it the other day. It's like, oh, we need to pick up some potatoes. And it's just so fun to say. It's just it's great. But as far as a catchphrase on the show, like I've been listening back to, we got a couple of the Fast Friends in the can. I've listened back to myself. Just stuttering, stammering, a lot of ums. I start sentences and then I'll just forget, abandon sentences and then just go on to a whole other sentence and I'll leave key words out of sentences. I got to work on that. I'm not a front-facing guy. So yeah. So enjoy that coming in the coming weeks on Fast Friends.
Don't be so hard on yourself, JD. What a piece of, what is it?
Space age titanium.
There it is.
I'm loving seeing these in the stream team. TK starts sentences with, you're exactly right. You're exactly right about that.
Yeah.
I've noticed Lee says punched above their weight a lot regarding overperforming teams. and this one comes up. Oh, no doubt about it. for sure, Skeets. You gotta wonder. I don't know. There are times when I say things, I'm like, you've said that 18 times already on this show. Yeah. And like, you think of it as it's coming out of your mouth.
I know. You can't catch it sometimes. It's just like, these words. My mouth just is just saying these words. I'm trying to come up with something different, but you can't do it. Skeets also does it. It's bonkers whenever he's talking about something.
Good one.
Yeah. I think we did that from way back in the day. It's bonkers. We both would throw that out there, but Skeets has kept it alive for sure. But you just gave me a horrible flashback there, Trey, when you said you don't know how many times you said it, or if I said it like 48,000 times. We used to do redos of the show when we didn't like something after like 6 or 7 or 8 minutes back when we weren't live a long time ago, when I would say, oh, Pau Gasol instead of Marc Gasol, I would just stop like an idiot. And then we'd have to go start again. And then I definitely didn't know, even if I made a point, did I say that? Am I saying it again? Because we're restarting. How stupid that was. But I just had a nasty, nasty little flashback there for a second. Okay, that's it for us. As JD mentioned, Too Fast, Too Furious coming this Friday. And then a Summer League roundup with the Athletics' Dave DeFore on Monday, August 16th. So jump back for that. Skeets will be back on the Too Fast, Too Furious. Don't you worry. No doubt about it. He'll be back. It's going to be a bonkers show. No doubt about it.
For sure.
Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, 8 a.m. is too early for billiards. No doubt about it.